Good day, listeners. We present to you our podcast, Wounded Hearts, Wounded Churches. We discuss a variety of topics that are important to the church. Examples include sexual abuse, all types of addictions, religious abuse, and recovery. This platform provides counseling sessions, meaningful question and answer, and a counseling continuum. Our co-hosts include Ms. Lolita, Personnel Director, Mrs. Tennille, our Technical Director. We have an impressive array of program contributors. And I'm your host. My name is Prince, founder of Antioch Youth Center, 501(c)(3) program, licensed counselor, now retired. So join in this exciting podcast, Wounded Hearts, Wounded Churches, and be a part of the healing process. Friend, we had a lot of exciting questions in the past couple of weeks, and we have so much time to deal with things. So next week, we're going to answer all those questions. Brother Cap is going to answer those questions for you. Church of God, grew up Church of God. He's experienced what you're going through many times. Next week, going to answer all those questions for you. But this week, introducing our speaker, Elder Sam Cavan. He's a grandson of a Church of God minister, extensive background in business, preaching for years now. He's ordained and licensed in the Church of God, a new church plant there in Columbus, Ohio area. He's the husband, the father of three, and good to have him here. Let's give him a hand. Glad to be here tonight. So, Elder Cavan, tell us about your church, the information, the address. If someone wants to say hello to you, how can they do that?
Church of God, 3090 Courtright Road in Columbus, Ohio, 43232. We're meeting there Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. And Wednesday night is our prayer Bible study at 7 p.m. And of course, I can be reached 614-207-7616. That is my cell phone number. Feel free to call or text anytime. And good evening, and thank you all for having me.
Amen. So we have a lot to cover tonight. These questions we have, we'll do that next week. You got a bunch of questions. Thank you for chiming those in last week. But tonight, Brother Cavan, you can go right ahead, whatever you have.
Well, we would like to finish up the points that we had started with last week. We did mention that we had 4 points. The first point that we were making was that of ministers falling. And the second point that we was making was that of the church splits and divisions. And of course, we went into detail on how a lot of that was prophesied and spoken of in the scriptures and warned us, meaning the church, about those things coming so that we will be prepared for when it was to happen. And let me interject and say, before we go to our third point, myself, growing up in the congregation that I grew up in, I had great ministers. I had several wonderful ministers, pastors who oversaw that work. The first was a lady named Sister Adele Butler. And then after her, she passed it on to Brother Carl Kennelly. And then from Brother Carl Kennelly, he passed it on to Brother Ron Cavan II, who happens to be my older brother, the late Brother Ron Cavan. So those were some great ministers. They didn't fall. They stood for what they preached. They stood for what they taught. And they lived the life that they preached from the pulpit. So in the fact that we have examples of ministers who did not stay where they were supposed to be or do what they were supposed to do, there are yet ministers who did preach in the Holy Land as That's a church right. of God, pastor and minister. So we don't just have stories of failure or when the enemy got in and was able to get somebody to get off of their position that they were given. That's but right. we had also success stories
Amen.
Of who went out on the white horse and have them to thank today because of them, we're able to still live the truth, still speak the truth, and still tell others that this truth works from what we were taught and right. from what we live. So we want to go into our third point, and that is, if Sister Tennille wouldn't mind reading a scripture over in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, in verses 25 through 27.
See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain.
So this scripture is also telling us that God is going to do a shaking in the latter time. And there's a scripture in Ephesians, the second chapter, that says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, and he made us to sit in heavenly places. So those heavenly places he's speaking of is in the church. God dwells in heavenly places. So the saints dwell in heavenly places with God. But God said that there was going to be a shaking, not of just the earth, not of just those who are not trying to be what they're supposed to be, but even those who are claiming to be all they're supposed to be, or calling themselves saved and sanctified in Church of God. The Bible said that there was going to be a shaking also in the heavens, and that which won't remain is going to be shaken off. So the gospel is coming to life and is being seen by many people. And because people has put their trust in man, when they see God shaking and man falling off because man wasn't the way he's supposed to be, then they lose hope. But what God is trying to do with his church is get us to be rooted and grounded in him.
In him, yes.
The heavens, we won't be shaken off.
Brother Kevin, could that be a trick of the devil trying to get our minds and focus more on men than on God, than overwhelm us in the end? The devil, is that a trick that he can work, try to work on us?
Absolutely. And not just that, but it's also human nature. Human nature, people are by nature followers. I mean, that's just how most
people are followers.
Very few people step out and become entrepreneurs. Very few people are the boss, or so to speak, the one in charge. Most people in a company are the employees, and then there's a boss or there's a owner. And that's kind of just the nature of people. So God, when he does a work on mankind, he does a work to their soul and to their spirit and to their nature to take away what would naturally be you following man to cause you to follow him.
So when man gets off, that's why it's critical for the saints to go on to perfection. Perfection takes you away from yourself,
and it also takes your eyes off of man and puts your eyes squarely on him. Now, of course, we listen to the minister. The Bible says that you got to honor the ministry, and the Bible says that obey them to have the rule over you. But it also says that you must follow Christ. You must put your trust in him and not solely in man. So when that shaking is happening and people are being shaken off, it does bother people who have placed a lot of confidence in man. But for those who have not, we stay, we remain. Like we said, those that cannot be shaken will remain. So we'll remain. We don't like to see ministers fall. We don't like to see anybody backslide. Somebody backsliding does not encourage me to follow them out into sin.
Right. You know, Kevin, I was thinking, I might be tempted to backslide, leave the church, but it's up to me to decide to stay or go, isn't it? I make that decision based on what I'm dealing with God on.
Absolutely.
If I'm tempted, that's one thing, but if I leave, that's on me, not on the person. Absolutely. I can't blame nobody. I can't blame anybody but me.
Right. And let me take it a step further. When you see someone backslide, especially someone that you're close to, that should actually cause you to check your experience.
Right.
Because most times the person that you're close to that you see backslide, you may not have seen the signs. You may they may have been hiding it from you because they know they can't allow you to see some of the things that they're doing because they know what they're doing is not right. Right. So most times it's a shocker. You can't believe what do you mean you dating so-and-so, or what do you mean you went, and they've been doing it all along, but they haven't told you. And that shocker can be such a shock where you'll become discouraged. But what it should do in reverse is cause you to say, hold on. Now, this is somebody I had confidence and trust in. I know they would say, Lord, help me. Am I missing something? Am I overlooking something? Is there something that's trying to work on me that I'm not paying attention to? It should actually cause you to tidy up. It's almost like a basketball team, and you go and look and see who all made the team, and then you see somebody that you thought was definitely going to make the team got cut. Wait a minute now. They was doing everything. They missed a couple practices. Okay, I need to tidy up. I need to get to practice early. I need to make sure I'm making my layups and free throws or what have you. Yes. It really should cause us to go deeper and do better to make sure that we're not a victim next.
Friends, we're just about halfway through our program, and glad you're here tonight. And if you've been wounded, damaged, church issues, or whatever the situation might be, emotional, mental, we're here for you tonight. We want you, you've not been forgotten about. We're reaching out to you. Tonight is your night. We're here for you, for wounded hearts, wounded churches. We're here to reach out to you, to let you know we do love you. We do care for you. We want to see all people unified, forgiven, healed, and Lord God, put back together again. So that's why we're here. So tonight, you have time to text in. That number is 1-866-538-3664. Again, 1-866-538-3664. Okay, Elder Kevin.
This last point, point four, I want to make this point, and then I'd like to speak to those who have been wounded, those who have been hurt, those who have walked away from their church training and certain and different congregations. I want to speak to them. This fourth point, the Bible says, despite all that you see in the church, around the church, despite even the way that the world is going today, there was a great commission given to his disciples that is still the great commission of God's church today. And we don't have to turn there, but it's found over in Mark, the 16th chapter. And it says to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. And that commission is still our duty today, to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So if you were to look at the world and you was to break down what's in the world today, the majority, maybe not the majority, but a vast number of people that are in the world today are broken, bruised, hurt, this messed up, hurt by people they love. They've been let down by people they have trusted in, by family, by loved ones, by ministers, by pastors. And of course, you really don't feel genuine pain or hurt unless it's somebody that's close to you that does the hurting. And that's when it really bothers you. So when he said to go into all the world and preach the gospel, in our age that we're living in, well, he's telling us to go to those who are the hurt, the blind, the maimed, the halt,
all those
been bruised in one way or another, and preach the gospel to them. Now, that brings me to this other thought. We are certainly sorry about those who have suffered hurt and pain in the church that they were fellowshipping in, the congregation they was going to. We make no excuses for what happened to them, and we're certainly sorry for what happened to them, and we wish it never would have happened, but it did. And so now the question is, how do we fix, or how do we win them back to God, even though they've had those pains and those wounds? And this is what I believe God has made clear to me. Mm-hmm. If you go to somebody and you are someone who has been born and raised in the church, you've never tasted alcohol, you've never smoked a cigarette, you've never done any drugs, your parents always have shown you love, you're a straight A student, you went to college, you got your degree, you're a lovely, beautiful.
I'm not in that club.
Then you go down
for me to get in.
And then you go down.
I'm out.
You go to Miller and Livingston Avenue, to that alcoholic on the street corner.
Okay, all right.
There we go. That hadn't been at home since he turned 15.
Wow.
Tell him that I know what you're going through. I understand. He's going to look at you. You have no idea what I'm going through.
True. Very
and
true.
And you don't have any idea what I'm going through. So what did God do? God has allowed people in the congregations and in the church, if we can use that, to go through some things that he would rather they not go through, but they have to go through so he can use those people to go to the ones who never, ever even knew that there was a Jesus or a God who loved them and wants to heal them and wants to help them. And then when we look at them all cleaned up and dressed up and they say, you don't know what I'm going through, they can just sit down right there with him and say, friend, not too long ago, I was right here with you.
I was broken.
I was abused. I was misused. I was hurting. I was an alcoholic. I was a drug addict. My mother turned her back on me. My father turned his back on me. And so on and so on. But then they can interject and say, but one day,
I knew
that there was somebody named Jesus Christ who loved me. Talk to me one day and tell me how he could take the hurt away, take the pain away. It was tough. It was hard. Mm-hmm. But I believed him. I gave my life to him. And I'm a new creature.
Amen.
The very person that hurt that individual, do you know that they can actually love them? And the Bible gives proof. When Joseph was sold, he was sold. They sold him for money, his brothers. But before they sold him, they threw him in the pit. He didn't know if he was going to live or die.
Right.
And then after they sold him, they went back and told his father, which is cruel, your son's dead. Many years later, this same boy that was sold by his brothers, the same one, saw all his brothers that sold him, all his brothers that wanted to kill him, all his brothers that did that hurt and pain, put that hurt and pain on his father. And the Bible says that he cried and weep and said, I am Joseph. I have kept my name. God sent me here to preserve a posterity for him. What the devil meant for evil, God meant it for good. And what I'm saying to a lot of our children that are hurting, that are bruised, that are broken, God is actually trying to use you to go and win this broken, hurt, messed up world. And all he's waiting for is for them to be tired of hurting and decide that they want to start helping. And then God will come in, repair their lives, fix their life, take the hurt away, take the pain away, and actually give them a love and a peace that they've never, ever, ever experienced. And then take that very individual out into the world and show the world this is the miraculous work of a savior named Jesus Christ who died on the cross for you while you was in the gutter, while you was drunk, while you was not understanding what the time of the day was, while you was so out on drugs. There was a God in heaven that was working on a young child in a church somewhere, allowing him to go through some things so that one day that child could come actually to this person and say, I know exactly what you're going through and I have the answer for you. And sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow because nobody really wants to go through it. But those who go through are the ones that God knows are strong enough to go through it.
Amen.
The fact that they're able to talk about it shows you that.
So true. So
the fact they haven't jumped. The fact they haven't put a bullet in their head. They may have thought about it because the devil's cruel. He might have tried to push them to it. But wouldn't let it. God said, no, I have an assignment for them. No, I have something for them.
Thank God.
You're not going to destroy them. You're not going to do just like he did with the sons, with Joseph. He said, no, you're not going to kill him. I'll let you sell him, but you're not going to kill him. And then what did Joseph do? Joseph preserved a nation. Some of those young people, Brother Moon, are going to be the very ones who saved this nation.
My Lord.
Everything within
me. Amen.
They are going to be the miraculous testimony that many people have never seen. They don't know it. They don't see it. They haven't seen it. Some of the lifestyles, people do not believe you can get out of alternative lifestyle. Some
That's
of the
right.
drugs people are on, they don't believe you can stop. They feel like this is it. when those children who have been hurt and abused, when they finally say, that's it, God, here I am, this is my life for you to take and do with it. When they go out into this world, they start giving their testimony. Oh, you're going to see a revival break out. They can do a little bit, but we can only go so far. They can go a whole lot further.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
Friends, our time is gone now, and he's talking to someone tonight. Are you hurting or are you helping? Brother Kevin, tonight, any last minute communique you want to go before we go tonight? Anything you want to say?
I want to also tonight? Let them know, we didn't get a chance to read it, but we will quote over in Isaiah 53. It says that he was bruised.
Yeah. For our iniquities.
He said he was, the Bible says he was beaten. The Bible says he bore our griefs and our pain. All this was put on Jesus so that he would know what pain and hurt.
My Lord.
All that they're bruised and weak and going through, it was put on him so that God could send him to them. I mean, it's a beautiful picture when you look at it. But what is the devil trying to do? The devil actually wants to use the hurt to deceive them into staying in sin and darkness, instead of them seeing the hurt as the actual benefit that God wants to use for them to help others.
Simple as that. So next week, you want to tune in. We got a question we're going to answer. What is the actual truth? I was told versus what I was told. There's no unity even today. We're only people saved that who sit in Church of God pews. A lot of questions here we're going to go through next week, and we're going to answer it by a church baby or a church saint that's growing up in the church. So we got two pages here full of questions we're going to go through next week. So come back and we'll answer those questions. If you got more, feel free to text in your questions. 478-283-9093 through the week. Especially we'll answer next week. Got a bunch of you here to answer. So to our director, thank you tonight. To those who listen, glad you came. We had about 200 almost last week. We're glad about that. Elder Kevin, thank you again. See you next week. May the Lord bless us all.
God bless.